Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatmarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki. Today we're looking at Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, entitled Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, and it's text number 10. Iti atad virya vidushi pruvane bavu ashobanam rushaha devi drishtaya nirjithatma bhimanine. Ityatad virya vidushi. Ityatad virya vidushi. Bruvane bhavya shobanam. Bruvane bhavya shobanam. Rushaha devi drishtaya. Rushaha devi drishtaya. Nirjitatma bhimanine. Nirjitatma bhimanine. Iti. Thus. Atat virya vidushi. When Chitraketu, who did not know the prowess of Lord Shiva, Bruvane spoke. Bahu ashobanam, that which is not up to the standard of etiquette, the criticism of the exalted Lord Shiva, urusha, with anger, aha, said, Devi, the goddess Parvati, drishtaya, unto Chitraketu, who was quite shameless. Nirjita Atma, as one who has controlled his senses. Abhimanine, thinking of himself. Translation. Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses. Please repeat. Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although Chitraketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord, even though the Lord was transgressing social customs. It is said, Tejiyasang na doshaya. One who is very powerful should not be understood to be faultless. For example, one should not find faults with the sun, although it evaporates urine from the street. The most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man, or even by a great personality. Chitraketu should have known that Lord Shiva, although sitting that way, was not to be criticized. The difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Shankarshan was somewhat proud at having achieved Lord Shankarshan's favor. I'm going to read that again. So the difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu Shankarshan, was somewhat proud at having achieved Lord Shankarshan's favor, and therefore thought that he could now criticize any one, even Lord Shiva. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. A Vaishnava should always remain very humble and meek and offer respect to others. Trinadapi, you can help me with this. Trinadapi sainichena, tororapi sahishtina, amanina, manadina, kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. A Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It is better to remain humble and meek and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The word nirjitatma bimanine indicates that Chitraketu thought himself a better controller of the senses than Lord Shiva, although actually he was not. Because of all these considerations, Mother Parvati was somewhat angry at Chitraketu. Good. End of purport. Thanks for helping out. Namo Vishvadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swapnita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Brahmani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacare Shatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Vaishnavas. Today we're looking at an interesting story, or let's say you have been for the last few days, and that involves a few people, like Lord Shiva, his good wife Parvati, Chitraketu, who is a great yogi, devotee of sorts, and also some of the people who were assembled there together. Many people were sitting together, and it was some of the very high, lofty level of people from the universe who were surrounding Shiva and his wife Parvati. And they were sitting in such a way that it was a little bit casual, you might say, or a little bit informal. And when Chitraketu came, and it looks like he came in just a little bit late, he made some judgment. And he became a little judgmental. And you always have to be careful about being judgmental, because in the word judgmental, there is that word mental. Okay? So it was, he made the judgment that this shouldn't be. Shiva and his wife should not be so casually disposed to the public. Everything should be very formal, as usual. So he made some remarks. Nobody really took it very offensively, including Lord Shiva and all the other assembled great souls there. But there was one person who didn't take a liking to it, and that was Parvati. And we have a similar instance of this kind of thing where Shiva was being criticized, that is by his own father-in-law, that is Daksha. And most of us have heard many jokes in the past about in-law dynamics. It's universal, it's worldwide. Where it all started from, it could well be this particular story. We make claim that everything begins with Vedic, you know, displays, and so it just from the get-go, Shiva and Daksha just didn't get along with each other. It was an in-law problem. Now, one of the places that I traveled to is South Africa, and the devotees were telling me that there's different kinds of spices and herbs that you can buy there on the marketplace, and one of them is called Mother-in-Law's Revenge. And it must be very powerful. So Shiva and Daksha didn't get along. This was not so much the case with Chitraketu. It was already established that he was a great devotee of the Lord. But, you know, even if you're good, even if you're an outstanding Vaishnava, you can't be too careful. You have to be super careful about what you say and what you do. And oftentimes things just kind of slip out of the mouth, just run off the tongue, that comes out a little casual. And sometimes we do that because we come from a culture, perhaps, where you just do that. I know I'm a North American, so in North America, North Americans, we do that kind of thing. We just shoot off the mouth, and we don't know what we're saying. It's meant to be a joke, meant to be taken lightly, makes light of the day, because life can be monotonous, gruesome, boring, monotonous. And so you want to cut the day, insert in the day with some jokes, right? And sometimes they're sarcastic. But when it works okay in your own setting, but it ain't going to work in some other cultures. They're going to take great offense. So Chitraketu and Shiva and Parvati and all the other great souls mentioned above in previous verses, we understand they're all coming from the same kind of background. And under normal circumstances, Shiva and Parvati would not be so familiar with each other. But you know, everything that we read about, all the stories, all the leelas, it's all a setup, and it's scripted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's merely a play. As Shakespeare says, the whole world's a stage, and everyone plays a role on the stage, you know. So this is, every time there's a setup, and even the war of Kurukshetra was a setup. Draupadi being dishonored and insulted. It was a setup by the Lord so that a war could take place, and then hence everyone could have a moment to listen. And the way it worked out, Krishna being the supreme director, is that the two camps were lined up against each other, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, right? And everyone was just ready. The sun came up. The conches were blown by various dignitaries, including Bhishma and others. And now it's time to go, and oh! Everyone's attention is on. Total focus. What's going to happen now? And it's simply Krishna's device, who's saying, we're having a station break right now. Now that I've got your attention, here are a few kind words for you to consider. And then the Bhagavad Gita is laid out, right? The same message which was told long ago, prior, by the Supreme Lord to the Sun God, Vivaswan. Vivaswan imparted it to Manu, Manu to, and Ikshvaku is a great soul who lies in the line of the Raghu dynasty, which is the Ram dynasty, and in this way, information was transmitted from generation to generation, and information that was vital, that was relevant, that was important. Okay? So now people get regular information. People get all over the world, people are watching in the United States what's going on between Clinton and Trump, right? And it's always the same old, same old. It's been going on for month after month. It's an unprecedented political campaign, never seen before. Never have we seen such a disappointing group of people, you know, having an argument. It would be so nice if they could start to say nice things about each other. And it's just the same old stuff, same old, you know. They call it news, but actually it's olds. It's not news. Hare Krishna. So here's one of the dramas of the Lord. Everything was set up in such a way that Chitraketu would be saying something, someone be insulted, and wherever there's an insult, something is going to be said. It'll come in the form of a mental curse or a vocal curse, and the curse was, demon, you're going down. You're going way down. And people do that sometimes, right? They curse you. Have you ever been cursed before? Anybody here in this room, courtyard, been cursed before? Yelled at, screamed at, had things thrown at them? Yes? I don't think you're a human being if you haven't experienced. You haven't gone through life if you haven't. You have to be, or maybe you're on the other end. You're the one that's doing all the cursing. The material life is such that you're cursing or you're cursed. It's always like that. Matras parashasta kontaya shitoshna sukadukada agama pahano nityas tangsta tiksha swabharita. Krishna's basically telling Arjuna that this is just a cursed world, you know, that it's full of dualities. There's rewards and awards, and there's also punishments. And that's just the way it works. So we cannot be surprised if a curse comes to us. It's going to come one way or another. And oftentimes it just comes through the back door. It doesn't always come through the front door. It's not always what you anticipate. It can come through the side doors. It can come from anywhere. You don't know. The world is full of mystery, and it's full of that kind of adventure and excitement. It makes the world kind of exciting, isn't it? When you don't know when something's going to come, you know, being thrown at you. Makes it kind of fun, doesn't it? And Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita that I am adventure. So we can see Krishna in the form of adventure. Oh, a curse. Yay! And how does a devotee deal with a curse? I had it coming to me. I deserve it. I deserve worse. But thank you very much, my Lord. When the curse comes to me, I take a humble position and I'm just getting a little token of what I really deserve. So it makes me think of you. And when I think of you, it means perhaps, not perhaps, I will eventually get liberated from this miserable material world which stinks. Okay? So that's really the way it works for us in this world. We're constantly having flung at us all kinds of different things. So it's interesting to see how Chitraketu will respond to this whole crazy scenario. We know that he'll take birth as a demon and he'll be able to, let's say, have a time to speak eloquently. He'll speak to Indradev. He'll have a chance to, when it looks like the real hero in the story of Indradev and... What's his name? When Vritrasur has a dialogue with Indradev, who shines in that dialogue? Yeah, it's the good old demon, right? Because he's able to retain some of his devotional characteristics. In the same way that Bharat Maharaj was cursed to take a lower birth as a mammal, as a deer, he was able to retain his good, let's say, Krishna consciousness to some degree. Although he was an animal, a furry animal, and he roamed around, he was welcomed by all the various brahmacharis, sannyasis, and monks in the Pulaha Ashram in the Himalayas. So he kind of like just fit in there with the boys, you know, he was right in there with them. And but he could remember all his meditations from before. So it's a good idea to invest in your meditations now, which will impact you in the future. Therefore, Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, Antakale chamam eva smaran muktava kalevaram. So he's talking about whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, that's going to have a bearing on where you're going to be in the future. Yang yang vapi smaram bhavam chajachanti kalevaram tang tang eva iti kaunteya satata bhavibhavita. This is another verse that follows the Antikala shloka, and it's pretty much saying the same thing. Some people mistake that verse. It's a yum yum, tum tum, yum yum for the tum tum. Some newcomers think it's a verse to do with prasadam taking, yum yum for the tum tum. But actually it has more philosophical depth to it, and it's basically saying that, you know, watch what you're doing now, because it will affect you in the future, isn't it? So that kind of thoughtfulness is called sattvaguna. Sattvaguna means to be thoughtful and to think very carefully before you open your mouth and you say something. So in Chitraketu's moment of, let's say, passion and casualness, he himself became a little casual, and his mouth started to run off, and obviously it became a mistake. So you got to watch, you know, what you say. This is one of the most important elements in the Vaishnav tradition, is to be careful about your choice of words. The best thing to say is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, you have to be a little intelligent. I remember when I was a brahmachari and I was doing Sankirtan. In those days, we used to sneak into one of the biggest fairs in Canada, and then the police nabbed me as well as the other devotees, and I was being slightly fanatical at the time, and the security, you know, got me, and they wanted to know what I'm doing there, why I am there, and why I'm collecting funds and this and that. Of course, they knew what I was doing, but they wanted to hear from me, and I decided to just answer everything with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So they thought I was just a lunatic, you know. So we also have to be very, very personable, and say the right thing at the right time and the right circumstance, right? That's what it means to be Krishna conscious, to be a good juggler. Juggle, time, place, circumstance, time, place, circumstance. Always look at that, and that keeps you kind of perked up, keeps you quite like spriteful. That's what a devotee is. Always, you know, let's say, always like refreshed in his or her feeling. That's what it means to be a Vaishnav, to be guarding oneself against the onslaughts of Maya, which come all the time. And you know, you have to dodge those things when they come. Try to dodge them, but if you get hit, then address it. Okay, do something about it. I thought it was also very interesting that, you know, Shiva and Parvati, they are one of the most exemplary types of, like, Vedic couples that we adore in our tradition. They're very committed to each other. At least, she was sitting on his lap, and she wasn't sitting on somebody else's lap, which is the Kali Yuga thing to do, isn't it? You know, swing your partners round and round, do-si-do, do some square dance. This is a Kali Yuga symptom of his... to not be loyal, to not be dedicated. One thing we can say for sure is that in our Krishna consciousness movement, if we have strong, committed people, once they tie the knot, so to speak, in marriage, we will be a very attractive culture, a very attractive movement to the public outside. It's not always the philosophy that brings people to the movement. It's not always the colorful stories that do it. Not always. In fact, most of the time it's not. Most people are looking for going to a place or being part of a community where there's stability, where they hear about marriages are solid, families are strong, children are safe, good education, moral values, and so on like that. This year, I walked halfway across the United States in honor of the 50th anniversary of the ISKCON movement. And I walked a lot of that through Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, and some other places, where the Amish people are very, very strong. And the Amish people are a group of people with sort of a German strain, and they settled in the Americas long ago. And they're very, very principled people. Of course, they lack a little bit in their diet when they eat quite a few bit of beef. But other than that, they have very strong values. So they're Amish people. And I'm walking through their communities and I'm seeing how they're dressed, how they behave. Like I remember going in front of one household and the children were playing in the front yard. And I said, hello. And they, in a very shy way, they said, hello. How are you? Fine. Not looking. It was just their mannerisms. I felt like I was on another planet. And then I walked a little further, a few other paces, and there was a young boy, maybe he's about 8 years ago, and he was just standing there looking at a tree. He was just looking at it, and he was amazed by it. Because these kids and these families, they don't have such a complicated life. It's not, they don't have the city lights experience. Everything's hard work. It's about God, togetherness, family, and so on like that. And from the roadside, I also asked him, hello, how are you doing? I'm okay, like that. It was like a novel experience. So that day later on, I got interviewed by a newspaper. It's in a place called Burton, Ohio. And the woman came to me, asked me a lot of questions. And she leans forward and she says, we met at a Subway restaurant. And how are the Amish people treating you? How do they look at you? And I said, and I explained what my experience was. I said, well, I went in front of a household and there were some children playing in the front yard. They're the only children playing in the front yard, she said. She jumped right in there. They're the only kids playing in the front yard, implying that kids don't play in front yards anymore. They don't play in the backyards anymore. They don't climb trees anymore. They are doing this. They're playing games. So she was being a little sarcastic, but it's true. So old values is what it's all about, right? And that's what we can implement in our Krishna consciousness, in our culture, to have good, solid marriages. Of course, some people are not thinking about that, and that's fine and dandy, but most people are thinking about that, and they're going to pursue grihastha ashram. And then it has to be taken very seriously. And blessings have to come from all around. And there has to be some kind of, training, proactiveness in a person's life before they make that change in the ashram. And so when we see that we have good, solid communities like that, people will say, I want to join that movement because I see there's safety, there's fortitude, there's all those kind of things that are important in my life. I want to see happy people. I don't want to see families broken up. I don't want to see divorces. I don't want to see a scene. Of course, scenes do happen. Prabhupada had a scene with his wife, and he gives the example of Gandhi having a scene with his wife when they established the first, a communal situation in South Africa. There was a bit of a disagreement, but they got over it. They learned how to get over it, and they agreed to disagree, carry on with life, and don't have any other considerations. In my own personal circumstance, my parents were very much of the old school, and like many parents were in the 50s, and they really were, the big word D doesn't even enter into the household. D meaning divorce. So I remember after my mother passed away, and then my dad was, he was living alone, and he had lots of widows calling him up suddenly, They wanted friendship, they wanted companionship. And then he told us, me and my five siblings, and I'm the oldest, he said, I was thinking maybe I should get married again, but I didn't want to do that to you kids. And when he said that, about us kids, we were all in our 40s. So that's the old way of thinking. It's that old school that we need to implement in our Krishna consciousness. A lot of the new ideas that we have are basically let's say, impositions that are coming from the outside world that are not healthy and not wholesome and definitely not dharmic. They don't have anything to do with anything Vedic. So we have a long way to go to make it better, to make it better, to make our communities stronger. And, you know, a good family is kind of like the backbone of a community. And a good family will also follow what the renounced order has to say, the kind of guidance and the direction that such persons give, you know, that there be strength. There's strength in our movement through strong, wholesome families. We know that Srila Prabhupada was very saddened by seeing that some of the arrangements he made for marriage were not working out. He was very, very disappointed. He was crying, you know, and he didn't want to see that happening. The worst thing is children, they become the recipient of the bad vibrations. And they're the ones that suffer the most. They're the ones that get cracked psychologically in their life. And once there's a crack there, it's really hard to solve, unless if the parents can solve what is difficult to do. So it's not easy to be in this world, for sure. We learn from Chitraketu that it's not easy to carry on, even when you're a good devotee, you know, a so-called good devotee. When you're honored by other people, you might just slip up somewhere. But we always have to keep in mind one of my favorite shlokas from Bhagavad Gita is Apichit Sudaracharo Vajati Mam Ananya Bhak, where Krishna is saying, even if one does an abomination, if the person is rightly situated, the one who's committed the offense, then there can be forgiveness. What does it mean to be rightly situated? It means to have the attitude that is expressed right smack in the middle of this purport. To take a humble position. Say, yeah, I did wrong. Yes, I've made mistakes. And I will try very hard not to do it again. And of course, if we make an apology like that, we make the mistake, and then we break the rules again, and we do it a few times over, nobody's going to take you seriously. And then you're no longer a person of character. You no longer carry any dignity, isn't it? So in Krishna consciousness, we really, you know, it's a group of people, certainly from an ideal point of view, a group of people who are, let's say, who have a lot of dignity about them. You know? They have a lot of virtue about them. They have a lot of honesty in what they do. They show themselves not to be proud. They show themselves to be meek and humble. They show themselves to be helpful. They show themselves to be kind, friendly, to smile. All these things that sound a little bit motor goodness-y, but actually, if we understand the shastras, when you act in sattva-guna, then it's possible for you to reach transcendence. And it's not possible to go from tamaguna and jump over to sattva-guna. It's very hard, or transcendence. Most of us cannot play the game of Hanuman. Hanuman was able to make big leaps and bounds. You know that. Jai Ram, whoa, boom, over the ocean. Most of us can't do those leaps. Most of us have to take little baby steps. And those little baby steps involve, you know, looking at areas of etiquette, looking at areas of what makes a lot of common sense. You know, sometimes we just have to use common sense. Renunciation doesn't mean that you give up on what makes sense, what's intelligent. Do not forsake your intelligence for so-called Krishna consciousness. So that's pretty much where Prabhupada wanted us to go with our Krishna consciousness. So a few things to learn from this shloka is that we don't know what's going to be volleyed towards us. We don't know whether it's going to be a hard ball or a soft ball, or maybe no ball will come at all. Okay. Does anybody like volleyball, by the way? Anybody like to play volleyball? When's the last time you did it? Before you joined the Hare Krishna movement? Maybe so. Okay, we had a few people that like volleyball. Okay, and it's nice. You know, sometimes the hard ball comes right at you, and you have to address it. Sometimes it comes night, light up in the air, and then you get a little more time to think about it, so you can respond to it, right? And how you respond is very, very important. And you'll become the best team player when all your other members of the team know you tried. No. If you're just there as a show-off, if you're just there as Mr. Flash, people will pick up on it. Audiences, the public, they're not so stupid as we think they are. They're very sharp. And they also, people will look at how we behave in our Krishna consciousness movement, and when we carry on, wear our Vaishnava attire, people look at us and there's certain expectations. I remember when I walked through Ireland, and that's very much a wet place, I traveled with some brahmacharis. They were distributing the books, and I was walking, and I was trying to make Ireland a little more of a Sankirtan-friendly place by meeting people. And I remember we were sharing our experiences. One of the brahmacharis said, I went to the household, and I knocked on the door, and it was raining. And I knocked on the door, and a lady answered. And he said, hello, I'm a monk. She says, well, what kind of a monk are you? He says, well, I'm a wet one. You know? And they had a good laugh at that. She didn't buy a book, but at least the point is that I guess, you know, a good joke, a good laugh can get somebody the right way. But our behavior is something that's going to tell a lot about what our movement is and how we carry on. Like that. Sometimes I find we're a little bit in a little bubble. We're a little bit in a closed zone. And we just think Hare Krishna is everything. But actually we're just a little community within a much larger, more complex, pluralistic society with so many more things going on. And many people don't even know who we are in the world. I keep saying, people ask me, in my travels, oh, you're Buddhist, right? No, I'm a Hare Krishna. Oh, you're a Christian monk. No, Hare Krishna. Oh yeah, it's a kind of Christianity, is it? No. Hare Krishna. Okay, they might get. You remember the Beatles, right? I think I heard about them. So then you know you're dealing with a whole new world, a whole new generation. You know, there's no reference points to give them anymore. You know, and sometimes they just they think you're. When they see me, they think I'm a martial arts, you know, expert or something. Can you show me how? I was walking in Cleveland, walking over a bridge that went over the interstate highway, and I met a couple of Afro-American guys. And hey, Matt, you a monk? And I said, I'm basically a monk. I said, can you show me how to fat? Which means, can you show me how to fight? And I said, well, you know, in our order of monks, we teach you how to be gentle before you fight. It's better to exercise wisdom before weapon, right? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's very nice. It's great to be out there and meet people, you know. But they do have certain expectations. A lot of people, they'll also, some people say, in these small towns even think, oh, monks coming to town, something good is going to happen. And this is like in Midwest America, you know, or like somewhere in Canada, they think, the monk is coming, monk is coming, monk is coming. And they don't know what kind of a monk, but must be a good one. They hope that's their anticipation. So some or other, when we're out there in the public, we want to put our best foot forward and let's say, you know, behave in such a way that people will remember us in a good light. And that holds true for any kind of community, whether it's a Hindu background, Muslim background, or whatever. In some places like North America and places in Europe, people are kind of, they're okay, yeah, you're okay, I'm fine. But some cultures, they're going to look at us very suspiciously, isn't it? They're going to look at you as, you're an enemy. You're an enemy. And that's something to be concerned about. So we have to be very, very careful about our behavior and so on. So I think a very important lesson about this is just about particular, you know, how our mannerisms are important in expressing ourselves. And one of my favorite lines that comes from Francis of Assisi, he said, preach, And if you have to, use some words. So what that means is that preach by how you behave. You don't have to take the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam and ram this in your face because you're a demon. You're a big karmi. Fat, slobby, meat-eating, drunkard, womanizing karmi. So I'm going to show you what life is really all about. You can actually meet those people and you can warm up to them, be their friends, and that's what it takes. I mean, I remember going through some incredible neighborhoods in America, like scary, scary places, walking. I remember going to one particular neighborhood where people walk a lot. And I went to this one guy sitting in front of the barber shop. And I introduced myself. Hey, I'm Bhakti Markswami. I'm the walking monk and I'm walking to San Francisco. And he goes, yeah, really? Whoa. And I said, well, and he introduced himself as Jim. And I said, so Jim, tell me, why is it that so many people around this town everyone's walking around here? I don't see many people walking in America. Everybody's in a car. I said, well, you know, man, if you're on an overdose, you're not going to get into a car and start driving around. You know what I mean? So in other words, there's a lot of people very depressed, on alcohol, on drugs, so out of it that they can't walk, that they can't drive. They have to walk. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. So it's, you know, we're living in a world where Kali Yuga definitely is making its progressions. It's advancing very quickly. And while people see all kinds of bad examples, as in some of the, you know, examples we gave earlier on about marital breakups and families dissolving and trying to start again, which usually doesn't work the second time around, and we've got a lot of challenges, and we want to show the world the other side, the other option. Prabhupada came to the West and traveled around the world to show us another option. You don't have to follow the status quo. You don't have to, you know, walk onto a ship that's going to sink before it even takes a major sojourn over the ocean. So it's like that. Being careful in Krishna consciousness, it's really important. And process before you say something. Process it. What am I going to say? Of course, I'm such a hypocrite. I was asked to give this class and I never prepare. I'm better at winging it. But I thought, oh, okay, let me just look at it. Okay, I read it at least. But really, I should be taking a little more time to dissect the shloka, look at the purport and everything, but it's a little bit difficult for me, but I tried. So I want to thank you very much for listening. We're at about the time that we're supposed to be for cutting off. We got another few minutes to go? Okay, so we can leave it for questions and answers. He's going to give the question and he's going to give the answer.
Was it wrong to trick your case to out of concern for Lord Shiva and Parvati's behavior to say something that maybe wasn't appropriate? Should he just look over something and not say anything? Or was he just actually genuinely concerned about the proper etiquette for their behavior?
I think that's a very good question that Panchagoda Guru asks. Is that... wasn't it a good idea that he would say something? But I think the best answer would be that follow the proper protocol. Maybe it's out of place to say something in front of everyone to make it like a big public scene. Maybe it's best to go to someone who has some influence over Shiva, you know, and say, you know, I don't mean to say this, but could I convey some concern I have? And you know, say it to the right person, and that person can then convey it to Shiva, and then it doesn't have to fall on Parvati's ears, who then gets extremely angry. We can save her of her wrath. So I think that it's important, even though we might have a concern,
this person and that person, they shouldn't be together, you know.
So instead of getting on the microphone like this, okay, I just saw so-and-so Swami and so-and-so Mataji, and they were not, blah, blah, blah. Better to go to the right, follow the right protocol, go to the right, follow the right channels, and, you know, because human society is a very sophisticated one anyways. We set up our world like that, so go to the right person, right place, right circumstance. So it seemed like he stepped a little out of line, and he was just a little bit proud, and he overlooked the prowess of Shiva and Parvati. Hare Krishna. So in other words, if you have, you see a problem with Panchagoda Prabhu, if he's doing something wrong, then just talk to one of his friends first, you know, before it goes. Yes. Can you say that again? Because the ting, ting. Okay, good.
If he had known what the reaction was going to be, would he still have sin with it? That's, I think, the real one. Because sometimes, you know, you may see something going wrong, and you're like, well, I don't want anyone to get on my case, or I just won't say anything. Mm. And then maybe that person
So what you're saying is that some people are shy about reporting the incident, and they don't want to be a witness to the crime. So that, you know, that's also very, let's say, if you're a witness to a crime, you should take some kind of action. But just remember, channel it in the right direction, you know. Maybe go to the police. They'll help you. That you know, that same town where I met Jim, I went to this, it was such a dysfunctional town, and I walked through this disheveled place and it was so depressed, and then I came to an intersection where everything was boarded up on every kitty corner. The gas station was closed, the confectionery store was closed, all boarded up, and even the street lights were sitting on an angle and they weren't working. So then I went to the, I saw a police officer sitting at the corner in his cab, and I went there and it happened to be a woman, and I stood there. I was gonna just tell her what I'm doing here. I'm walking to promote spiritual awareness, like that, you know, get people to slow down, you know, to get more to the spiritual side of life. I stood there. I stood right next to the car, to cab, and of course it was what do you call it? tinted glass. But she saw me. She was kind of busy at the computer. She went a little bit like this, and I even went. I didn't want to knock on there because, you know, they'll come out with their gun. You know, it's the way America is. So I said, like, nothing works in this town. Not even the police, they're dysfunctional too. So, and when it gets to that point, if you can't talk to somebody, that then I say is an amplification of what is Kali Yuga, when nothing works anymore. And you just have to shake your head and go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. So it's good to say something. Get it off your chest, because it's going to keep haunting you. Why didn't I get in there at the right time? I should have said something. You know, it hurts you after a while. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay, well, all I can say, thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it. And may you prosper spiritually, all of you. Have a good time with Kartik. Make lots of spiritual progress. Dance like a madman. Sing to your heart's content. Play the music. You know, and be nice to people. Hare Krishna. Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.